Welcome to episode 479 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are winding down 100 days in the New Testament. And as we wrap up this series, we're focused on how each book of the New Testament speaks in some way to the desire that Jesus has for each of us to have life to the full. Today we're up to the book of Colossians, and we're considering the 9th guideline for abundant living. Guideline number 9 can be summed up in Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. In Christ Jesus, the saints of God are different people. As such, they are careful about their words and actions. They reject lying in exchange for the truth. Part of the Ten Commandments, also known as the Decalogue, the 9th commandment forbade the Israelites from bearing false witness or giving false testimony against one another. The actual text of Exodus 20, verse 16 is this: "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." To bear false witness against others is to lie about them, especially for personal gain. The Hebrew word translated neighbor in this commandment can mean an associate, a brother, companion, fellow, friend, husband, or neighbor. In other words, the Israelites were commanded to be truthful in all things, but especially when speaking about another person. Those who belonged to God were not to lie publicly, as in a court of law, by laying at another's feet any false charge that could injure him. The primary sense of this command has to do with the legal process. Yet it is common to speak in an informal court where what we say is taken seriously and truth or error matters for us and for others. In an extended sense, we can break the 9th commandment through slander, talebearing, creating false impressions, by silence, by questioning the motives behind someone's actions, by whispering, backbiting, slandering, or destroying the character of others by innuendo, sly insinuation, and evil suggestions, or even by flattery. The reasons for God's prohibition against lying and testifying falsely against one's neighbor are threefold. First, God's people are to reflect God's character. The Lord is a truthful God who does not and cannot lie. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" The people who were called by God's name and who represented him before a heathen world were expected to accurately reflect his character. Lying to or about one another brought reproach upon his holy name, and this he would not tolerate. Second, bearing false witness against another was destructive to the individual who was a victim of the lie, and he suffered by it in his credibility and reputation, as well as in his trade and business. Leviticus 19 verse 18 makes it clear that the Israelites were to love their neighbors as themselves, a command reiterated by both Jesus and Paul. Loving our neighbors precludes lying about them. Third, false witnesses were seen as so destructive to society that courts of law, both in the days of the Israelites and today, could function only if the witnesses who were called to testify could be trusted to tell the truth. Without a trustworthy judicial system based on eyewitness testimony from reliable, truthful witnesses, societies are at risk of the breakdown of law and order. When this happens, chaos ensues and the innocent suffer. As noted before, the New Testament is equally condemning of false witness. Colossians 3 verses 9 to 10 explains the reason for the continued prohibition against lying. Christians are new creations in Christ, and as such, we reflect his nature. We've been released from our old self with its evil practices, such as lying and bearing false witness. As the Israelites were to reflect the character of the Lord God, Christians are to reflect to the world the character of Christ that identifies us as his own. Colossians 3 verses 14 to 17. "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. that the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A significant measure of our Christian life is found simply in how we treat people and the quality of our relationships with them. Paul counsels the believers in Colossae to put on holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And then he says, above all these, put on love. Love is the summary of all the things described in this passage. Love perfectly fulfills what God requires of us in relationships. The Bible is clear that lying is a sin and is displeasing to God. The first sin in this world involved a lie told to Eve. In the early church, Ananias and Sapphira lied regarding a donation in order to make themselves look more generous than they really were. Peter's rebuke is stern. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? God's judgment was sterner. The couple died as a result of their sin of lying. Colossians 3 verses 5 and 8 combine to give a 10-item list of worldly sins Christians should remove from their lives. These include sexual immorality, jealousy, revenge, slander, and so forth. In addition, Paul speaks in detail against Christians lying to one another. Note that in this particular case, Paul is specifically addressing Christians lying to fellow Christians. All believers, regardless of class, race, background, age, gender, or ability, are a part of the same family. Rather than being petty or deceptive, believers are to treat one another well, speaking the truth in love. The reason Paul gives why believers should not lie to one another is found in the issue of identity. Those who put a trusting faith in Christ are new people who have died to sin and have become alive in Christ. The goal is then to live a Christ-like life. Lying to one another is inconsistent with this new life. Paul supports this argument by appealing to the highest authority possible, Christ himself. The old self of sin and the world is contrasted with the new self. The idea of the old self is also discussed by Paul in Romans 6 verse 6 and Ephesians 4 verse 22. Lying is listed in 1 Timothy 1 verses 9 to 11 as something practiced by the lawless. Nobody is ever pleased to be misled, hoodwinked, or bamboozled. Lies bring forth violence. Violence is covered up by lies. Revelation 21 verse 8 tells us that liars will be among those judged in the end. In contrast, Titus 1 verse 2 tells us that God never lies. He is a source of truth. Numbers 23 verse 19 established that it is impossible for God to lie. Lies suppress or distort the truth. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life, and he expects those who follow him to be people of truth. The truth is to be expressed in love, offering hope to those seeking redemption from the lies of the world. Christians are to bear witness to the truth. Even the agape, divine love, Christians are to manifest, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Blaise Pascal puts it this way, "Truth is so obscure in these times, and falsehood so established, that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it." Deception is characteristic of life in this sinful and fallen world, but God's people are to be a light in the darkness. Father, set aside the old man or old woman of sin within us, and as your children, empower us to be deeply committed to, and indeed to love, the truth. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.